Again, just to give you the full context of what we're doing here, in order to cut through the last vestiges of grasping that remain at substrate consciousness, or to turn your experience of pristine awareness into a durable stage, you have to do vipassana practice. So that's what we're focusing on, is vipassana practice. There are a number of different vipassana practices available that are outlined in Mahamudra and Dzogchen, and I'm offering one, my own unique alternative to some of the others that are basically origin, location, destination, is pretty much what you do over and over and over again. So that, but as an alternative to that, what I'm suggesting is that you can do a fusion of shamatha and vipassana using, so the practice of simultaneous stillness and motion. And as appearances arise, you then just analyze, Mahasiddha Maitripa said, their nature as they appear. So and we are using Wangchuk Dorje's template, basically, in order to do vipassana. First of all, all appearances are mind, so we outlined that. Mind is empty, and now emptiness is spontaneous actualization. So this emptiness is not a mere absence, because many of us are so used to that idea that, whatever, hard to grasp what emptiness is a mere absence. But here we realize that it's not that. That the ground of all, what we're talking about is the ground, that emptiness is space, that emptiness is ground. And this is the ground from which all appearances arise. So the appearances that you're viewing right now, the appearance that you're viewing right now, arose out of the ground. And so this is how the ground is described by Dujam Lingpa in Mud and Feathers. The essential nature of the ground is like the essential nature of space, which is not transformed by the day and night, does not turn into anything else, and enables the appearances of light and darkness. So all of the changes, the manifest nature, changes of the seasons, the progression of the day, all of that. But space itself, the sky itself, isn't changed by that. But it also enables all of these, the sky itself enables all of the changing, the manifest appearances. The reflection of the planets and stars in the ocean are none other than the ocean. The physical world and its sentient inhabitants are none other than space. Samsara and nirvana are none other than the displays of ultimate reality. So all appearances have the nature of space, of ultimate reality. And then again, Dujam Lingpa describes in Vajra Essence, the unaware aspect of the ground is called the substrate, and the pure aspect is called the Dharmakaya. So there's one ground, but it has these two aspects, an unaware aspect and a pure aspect. The appearing aspect of dualistic conceptualizations manifests as the delusive experiences of displays of the three realms. This is exactly what we are taking refuge, or we're arousing bodhicitta at that point. To unrealized beings, the forms created by the delusion of duality, although non-existent, are apparent as the realms of beings. You know, you're reinforcing that every time that you are doing that arousing bodhicitta prayer. So it is this recognition then that all of samsara and nirvana are creative expressions of the ground. They arise out of the ground. So everything from hell realms to pure lands, all are creative expressions of pristine awareness. And the substrate being the unaware aspect of the ground, and substrate consciousness, which is what gives rise to all appearances because of its luminosity, that is the ground from which all of your individual, unique, particular samsara emerges, relatively. So the uniqueness of your own samsara, all of that flows out of the unaware aspect of the ground. And then just, you know, so that, again, to kind of challenge some of the things that we have always heard, or to recognize why this is such a challenging idea, that all of samsara and nirvana are equally pure appearances of pristine, non-dual, pristine awareness and the ground. Because we have heard over and over again that samsara is an ocean of suffering, and that nirvana is peace, is bliss, is serenity. So how is it that they can be totally equal, equally pure? Isn't, and that we shouldn't prefer one over the other? I mean, a radical idea. So you have to just understand that from the perspective of a sentient being, there is preference. Suffering is real. We would prefer as a sentient being to have peace, to be free from suffering. But, and there is only one perspective, really, from which you can say that is true. And that is the perspective from which the Heart Sutra was written. When it says, you know, lists there is no suffering, there's no end of suffering, there's no path leading to the end of suffering. Basically, no noble, four noble or Arya truths. Etc. You know, so that sounds totally nihilistic. And the explanations of that you get from some lamas, frankly, I think, are kind of incomplete, and this is, you know, how that makes total sense from a Dzogchen perspective, that all are equally pure expressions of pristine awareness. And so there is no preference between samsara and nirvana. And here, as we are then doing our practice of resting in simultaneous stillness and motion as a shamatha practice, appearances arise, and then we know these to be, we know appearances to be mind, we know that mind is empty, and then spontaneous actualization, emptiness is spontaneous actualization. And as we recognize that all of these appearances are pure appearances or displays of pristine awareness, we rest in radical impartiality. We don't prefer one appearance over another, or we're not attracted to, we don't grasp to. And so, as Mahasiddha Maitreepa said, it is that that calms the mind in non-grasping and allows your stability or the stillness to remain. And so, just recalling again that the stillness of your awareness, if you're going to maintain the stillness of your awareness, requires this radical impartiality for whatever appearance arises. And the reason that you know are able to do that is because you recognize all appearances are equally pure displays of pristine awareness. And then the last point, spontaneous actualization is self-liberating. The Tantra of the Blazing Clear Expanse of the Dakinis states, the meaning of the self-releasing of signs is like water merging into water. All phenomena that appear as real signs are none other than reality itself. For example, once bubbles have arisen, they dissolve back into the water. Likewise, all phenomena arise from reality itself. Then all phenomena are released into their own state. In the early phase of the practice, your mind is overwhelmed by layers of ideation. There are so many thoughts that you can't possibly recognize all of them. But step by step, through engaging in the practice, you refine your awareness so that the moment they arise, you recognize them and simultaneously see their nature. So this is exactly what we are trying to do. In the moment that appearances arise, we not only see the appearance, and see it clearly with clear comprehension, but we see its nature. And that then, because it's a pure appearance, the awareness is calmed in non-grasping. And Gyatso Rinpoche just comments at some point in Spacious Path to Freedom, as paradoxical as it may seem, non-conceptual realization of emptiness can be sustained in the midst of conceptualization, but only if the nature of the mind itself has been realized. So when you realize the nature of the mind, so that you are resting in pristine awareness, or maybe if you're not even at the moment, but you have been there, you can then have this stillness of awareness, of non-conceptual awareness, or here he's really saying the non-conceptual emptiness and the non-conceptual realization of emptiness. So, you know, the real thing. That can be maintained while all this conceptualization is going on. So again, that is really pointing out that in this approach, the direct perception of emptiness is not going to be with no appearances, you know, as it is with the new translation schools. So you can have all of your fully conceptualizing mind active while you're resting in the direct perception of emptiness. That's a pretty radical difference. As paradoxical as it may seem, he says. And then Sogyal Rinpoche's advice, again, about the self-release. So you have the spontaneous actualization of appearances, and the self-release is built in to the spontaneous actualization. Just as the ocean has waves, or the sun has rays, so the mind's own radiance is its thoughts and emotions. The ocean has waves, yet the ocean is not particularly disturbed by them. The waves are the very nature of the ocean. Waves will arise, but where do they go? Back into the ocean. And where do the waves come from? The ocean. In the same manner, thoughts and emotions are the radiance and expression of the very nature of the mind. They rise from the mind, but where do they dissolve? Back into the mind. Whatever arises, do not see it as a particular problem. If you do not impulsively react, if you are only patient, it will once again settle into its essential nature. So that is just a schematic of how you might go about a real comprehensive practice of all of this. Working on shamatha and vipassana doesn't have to be simultaneously all the time, but this would be really a very elegant way of doing the fusion of shamatha and vipassana, and using the same shamatha practice while you're doing, you know, your vipassana practice. And there is such a direct correlation, I think, between the vipassana practice that you would be doing while you're doing the four modes of mindfulness, or basically, you know, really what it is simultaneous stillness and motion, and the what it is that is going to cut through to pristine awareness, and the view from pristine awareness, and non-meditation. So you really are taking the fruit as the path while you're doing this vipassana practice that is just really, really, you know, tailored for it. It seems to me, anyway. So anyway, I just wanted to outline something that you can work on, because who knows when it will be that we'll see each other again. So find a comfortable position and we will do that meditation. Begin your practice by settling the body in its natural state. And luxuriate in the silence of the natural state of speech. And settle the mind in its natural state. The natural state is what remains when you release all identification with being the body, speech, and mind of a sentient being. It is that luminous knowing that makes all appearances knowable, but it doesn't actually become them. It's like a mirror. Rest in that still, spacious awareness with no appearances, to familiarize yourself with stillness, stillness and the space from which all appearances arise. To keep this awareness of awareness uncluttered by conceptualization and appearance, Yangtang Rinpoche says you must note appearances as soon as they arise, and then they will withdraw. And now maintain this stillness and spaciousness of your awareness. And with intention, just open the door to appearances and allow them to enter unimpeded. With no checking references at the door. Only pleasant ones allowed. Not that. Radical impartiality. If you maintain this still, spacious awareness that sees the movement of appearances arising within this space, you will notice appearances in the instant that they arise, not just after they arise. That's too late. And you can watch the entire life cycle as an appearance arises, while it's present, and watch it dissolve again back into the space from which it arose. Taking aspects of the mind as the path begins with recognizing the difference between stillness of awareness and the movement of appearances. And then have a unified experience of stillness and motion. Aware of the space in which this motion arises. In the instant that these appearances arise, see their nature. This is vividness. Your qualitative and temporal vividness is so acute that you can see all of the different aspects of these compound appearances. As the appearance arises, you know that what you are watching is mind. These thoughts, emotions, desires, memories, have no tangible existence. They are dream appearances. And lucidly know that as the appearance arises, in the same way that you would know that a dream appearance in a lucid dream is only a dream appearance. as an appearance arises, you see it as a dream appearance. All appearances are mind. And another facet of this compound appearance is knowing that mind itself is not inherently real. It is only a label pasted on other unreal designations. This mind has the nature of space. And as these appearances arise, you see another facet of this compound appearance. The space which gave rise to these appearances is not emptiness, or this emptiness is not nothingness. It is not an absence of everything. It is the potentiality of all. And these appearances are spontaneously actualized out of this space. This emptiness is full. It is brimming, fizzing energy. These appearances are like the waves on water. They have the same nature as the water, spontaneously actualized. And then they spontaneously self-liberate. You can watch it all. The wave forms, and the wave returns to the water. The wave is nothing other than the water. Seeing this all in an instant as the appearance arises is vividness. And if all of these appearances appear to you as equally pure displays of awareness itself, then there's really nothing to do. Don't do anything. Don't modify, don't desire, don't seek. Just rest in that view. while appearances continue.